I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Morning, 720 WGN. It's Steve Cochran Show. Dave Bennett, Mary Sandberg, Mary Vandeveld, Steve Dzanich, myself, and of course, Steve Cochran here this morning, 312-981-7200. Big show this morning. Governor Bruce Brown are going to join us. Also, Rick Wilson's going to be here, longtime GOP pundit, author, and some sports stuff. Troy Murray from the Chicago Blackhawks, Steve Stone from the Chicago White Sox. We're going to talk all morning about who's going to close for the Chicago Cubs. The hamstring injury of Pedro Strop.
Might be you.
I know, right? They got to get, backup catcher, Caratini? Is that his name?
Victor Caratini?
Yeah, maybe he can get...
Rizzo can do it.
Rizzo. There you go.
That's what I think. Though I think that ship has sailed now.
Yeah,
he got his inning in or whatever it was.
I give the Cubs credit. They're good with the September drama. There's a lot of drama in September.
I think their fans could use a little less of that drama.
That's how did he pull that hammy? He just was running.
Yeah, he was batting in the 10th. That in itself was unusual.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. That's what makes it so tough and why a lot of people are criticizing the Cubs manager this morning. So anyway, we got a lot to do this morning. So Lou Manfredini and Lou's First Call coming up right here at 620-312-981-7200 if you want to be Lou's First Call. Also, we got the Download of Chicago Business coming up a little bit later in the hour. So let's get to the top six. At 6 now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
Of course, the top story in the top 6 at 6, Hurricane Florence hit the outer band of wind and rain lashing against the coast. It's poised to affect over 10 million people in southeastern United States this week. That's crazy. And to think about, and we just heard Vic's newscast that people are getting stuck in their homes. It's really an issue about flooding. We are going to be on this story all weekend long. As you said, it's just starting to hit the coast. And it's expected to be there all weekend. I mean, till Sunday, Monday. I mean, it's going to be one of those things that just... is unpredictable and of course will be dangerous and terrifying, and we will be all over it here at WGN.
There is a video that you guys have to go watch and find from the Weather Channel that they put out yesterday. It's gone viral today, where the guy is standing in an augmented reality situation showing how much water, how high.
I saw that.
Did you see it?
It is crazy. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, it scared the heck out of me.
Water is scary because it keeps moving. It doesn't care what you blocked off. You know, it'll make its way through.
We were
somehow
talking on the Mincing Rascals. I did that with John yesterday. It's up now. Eric Zorn was talking about the hog farming situation in North Carolina, South Carolina, where they're not prepared to take on that kind of water. So when the flooding happens, you're going to get so much hog farm waste. And pigs and hogs and things in the water, because those massive. We're not talking about farms where I've got 10 pigs. These are mass, you know, that's a big hog farming area. There'll be mass hog waste
and
in all the flood water.
You can't evacuate pigs.
No.
I mean, what are you going to do?
We all know pigs can't fly.
There you go. Yeah. We'll see if they can swim. Number two, the trial of Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke is ready to go. The jury has been selected. 8 women, 4 men, composed of 7 white people, 3 Hispanics, 1 African-American, and 1 Asian-American. 1 African-American. I'm not one for selecting juries by race, but you would like it to be representative of the city that you live in, especially when the issue at hand has to do with a white police officer shooting an African American 17-year-old, right? He has to be able to get a fair trial, no doubt about it. And there is a strong possibility he will be acquitted. But at the end of the day, to have all of this process and to have all of this nervous energy in the city, and to have a jury that has 1 African American on it—it seems like a head scratcher to me.
Is there anything that can happen today, Steve? that changes what starts Monday?
Yes. The Van Dyke defense has until today to decide whether or not they want the jury trial or want the judge to decide the trial.
And why wouldn't you go with a jury trial? You got everything you wanted.
It would seem that way, right? Yeah, it would be a tough decision, I think, for the defense to make.
It's a head scratcher from someone who's observed this from afar. I mean, I'm not obviously in the courtroom, and I'm not someone who's on the street covering this story. But to have a jury at the end of the day that has less representation than the actual numbers shake out on who lives in the county of Cook seems alarming to me. Mayoral candidate Paul Vallis under fire for CPS handling of the sex abuse case during his tenure as schools chief. Yeah, there's going to catch up to him because that story that the Chicago Tribune has been working on about showing the sex abuse issues over time at Chicago Public Schools and how they've handled it has yet to find someone accountable because it's a lot of these cases are from years ago and they can't necessarily put it on the current mayor because he has done enough to stem to address the issue. So you start looking back into the politicians of the past, and of course you're going to stumble upon Paul Vallis, who was CPS schools chief back in the 90s.
And now everything follows you, and you can't. That's like the governor that's in jail for the driver's licenses,
right? George Ryan.
Yeah, even though you know he wasn't there handing them out, your ignorance isn't a defense.
And in this case, it probably wouldn't be something that you'd be pointing fingers at if the guy wasn't running for mayor,
right? Right.
You know, if he was schools chief somewhere else, you'd be like, well, I'm not sure if you can point it. But the idea that he's running on this idea that he had such a strong presence and a strong record as CPS chiefs that he should be mayor, of course he needs to be accountable for what happened on his watch.
Right.
Mayor Emanuel and Lisa Madigan agree on a proposed court order to overhaul the Chicago Police Department. This is very interesting. This is the story about the consent decree. I think this is going to be there will be a judge, a federal judge, that will oversee the process of reaching a final court order. They'll take public feedback. They'll hold hearings. It'll be scheduled for late October. Very interesting story. And we'll stay on that one.
Naughty.
Oh, boy.
Governor of New York defeated his challenger, Cynthia Nixon, by a comfortable margin of 30 points. Democratic primary yesterday. His Republican rival in November will be Marcus Molinaro. Let's go live to New York. Steve Cochran standing by. Steve.
I spent the afternoon with Eric Edelstein, who was helping... What, promote Mario Cuomo? I don't even know what you call what he does.
Market, maybe?
Yeah, they do the...
Crafts the message.
Yeah, the messaging. That's it. The messaging for Cuomo. So he was very concerned on the golf course about making sure that he was hitting his irons better. So I don't think they were that concerned about Cuomo in the race. But this Molinaro guy, he's more far to the right, obviously, but... It's probably a blowout, and Cuomo's setting up a presidential run.
Because
there's no real clear Democrat
front runner. You think he would win and then move on, the old Chicago way.
So did we ever get an update on what the temperature ended up being at the debate for Cynthia Nixon?
Yeah.
What did she want? What number?
She wanted like 71 or 72.
This is a setback for temperature adjustments.
Yeah. I think your temperature should be whatever your final vote tally is. So she should have gotten, what, a 35?
30. She's barely above freezing. I want to know what the New York Post's headline was this morning. No sex in the city tonight?
Yeah, it's got to be something like that, right?
You know they did something like
that.
Yeah,
and Michael Bloomberg is actually another story that's in the New York Press this morning. Michael Bloomberg running in 2020, apparently. Oh, so he's getting close to making an announcement.
You know what we really need? Opinionated New Yorkers in the White House, because it's working out really well right now.
Let's try a different part of the country, right?
Naughty.
And this is the food story to wrap it up. This one is so good. Did you know, Steve, green, orange, and red peppers are the same vegetable, just at different stages of ripeness?
Green, orange, and red peppers are the same vegetable, but at different stages of ripeness.
But they taste different. Well, that's because the red ones are sweeter because they've been on the vine longer.
So this is some sort of scam farmers have been running for years?
I'm not sure. I always
expose.
I always have thought that I hated green peppers and only liked the
same
red
here.
Ones and the orange.
Same here. I can't stand green peppers.
Oh, I like them all.
Love red and
you're
yellow.
Eating the same paper.
We're eating the same pepper.
So wait, at what point do they start rotting on the vine then? I mean...
I'm not sure.
And what color are they when they rot?
Yeah.
That would be the brown pepper.
The brown pepper.
Yes.
I smell a pepper tasting contest coming up.
This is pepper gate.
You got to pick a new pepper.
Dave, can somebody give Jay Bennett the ding, ding, ding?
Bright green versus bright red. How can they be the same?
I always just assumed they were different vegetables, but
me
they're
too.
The same.
Yeah. Let's get Big O on this one. I think there's a controversy.
This is why Twitter was going crazy.
Or Titter. Either one.
Are we going to do something like the apple thing again?
Yeah.
Pepper
challenge. I just suggested that.
Yeah.
And Steve just blew it off.
I didn't hear the apple
reference. Well, because I don't feel like biting into peppers on the air.
I'll do that.
By the way, I'm holding up my hands for those of you watching on the radio like I'm holding two peppers.
It's the yellow pepper. The yellow pepper that's the best.
No, you wouldn't believe how rotten those are. Same thing. All right, well, there's your top six, and Lou's coming up.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran, brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
6:25. Lou Manfredini, how are you?
I'm good. Can I tell you something that's always kind of bothered me?
What's that?
You know that open that you play?
Mm-hmm.
There's one portion of it that kind of sounds like, I mean, I think it's what it is a nail being pulled out of a piece of wood. But when I sit here in with my headphones on, it sounds like someone's burping.
Can you play it again? Hold on. Let's listen.
It sounds like someone's burping.
Well, let's listen.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers. We won't be comfortable.
Crank it up.
Until you are.
Here it comes. Right? Doesn't that sound like somebody
I've burped? Never noticed that before.
That is. I think that's a real burp. That's a Lou Manfredini
burp. It's a real burp.
Yeah,
and I'm like, gosh, nobody wants to hear people burping in the morning.
But it is. It's a nail being removed from a board.
Right.
As far as we know.
As far as we know.
And Super Joe just pointed out, now that's the only thing we'll hear whenever it plays.
Every time. There's the guy burping.
Can I sell you on? It sounds like a willow tree, you know, like a branch of a willow tree, kind of.
That's very poetic. Sure, it doesn't.
It's my favorite tree. I don't think I've ever had a willow make that sound.
Mike from Schaumburg, what's your issue?
I got a question. Good morning. I was wondering, Lou, what battery backup sump pump do you recommend? I'm looking. I've been buying my time. I don't have one right now, and I want to get something, but I don't want to spend, you know, $1,500 on one, but I want something that I can rely on.
And you want to do it yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, that two options for you. There's a company called Wayne that makes a pretty good backup system, and there's also a local company called the Basement Watchdog that's been around for a very long time. They've now upgraded to the gel batteries, which is a better choice, because the biggest issue with battery backups is no one takes care of the battery, meaning that they're not checking it every 6 months, and then you don't get the kind of runtime that you want. With a gel battery, you plug this thing in, it keeps it charged, and then you put on your smartphone that every 3 years you just replace the battery. And the key element with choosing any kind of battery backup system is you want to make sure that the backup pump moves the same amount of water as your primary pump. And so it's very important to pay attention to how big your pump is and gallons per minute typically. And, you know, on average, you're moving with what they call a 10-foot rise, which is from where the hole in the ground is to where the pipe comes out of the side of the house, about 10 feet. You're moving about 800 to 1,000 gallons an hour. And that's usually a pretty good litmus test for how good the pump is. And you just got to make sure you test it and make sure that it's working properly. But these systems now are pretty self-diagnostic. And for all that all in, like a Basement Watchdog or the Wayne system, you're going to spend about $1,000.
Well, that's good. That's if you're putting it in yourself.
Correct. If you're going to hire somebody like our friends at PermaSeal who do this, you know, their systems are a little bit different. They use cast iron pumps. You're talking about a $2,500 or so installed price.
Okay. Well, there you go. And yes, you need one. And watching a hurricane, watching a hurricane pound the East Coast with 10-foot storm surge, that'll make you think backup.
Well, there's no backup that can help you with that.
Yes. Yeah.
That is just, you know, I was like most watching the videos of that kind of stuff. I would think that, you know, the videos they keep showing, you know, the canopies that are at all the gas stations.
Uh-huh. Right.
I don't know why those are allowed.
Yeah, because they all get blown up.
Especially down there,
yeah,
you know?
They just get
and
blown off.
They have, like, these two legs that hold it up like a like a flamingo, and they just, they're the first things to go.
Well, they make for cool video, so that may be part of the deal.
Maybe.
Mike, you've won yourself an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat that allows you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. American Weathermakers, the 60-Minute Man, 855-955-HVAC. We continue, sponsored by American Weathermakers. And, Sandberg, what's your problem?
Lou, I just wanted to give a household project PSA out there to the listeners, and I'm sure you'll agree. You know, when we had water in our basement a month ago or whatever, in one of the unfinished parts, I was moving some things around in there that I wanted gone anyway from the previous owners. Mm-hmm. And they had two cabinets with a giant piece of wood that's, it's too big to even leave the house. Somebody's going to have to cut it, but it's like, I guess it's like plywood, but it's really heavy, and it's like 14 feet long by, I don't know, 3 feet wide or whatever, however you say that.
It's like a piece of MDF, really, really heavy.
Yes, and it's so heavy. And
I said I was thinking a piece of MDF.
MDF, yeah.
I was cleaning stuff up down there last Thursday, and I'm really impatient, and when I'm home alone, sometimes I know I do projects by myself, and while I was trying to carry that piece of wood around, I dropped it on myself, and then it pinned me down, and I ended up falling, and I hit my head on the floor, and I was fine, but for I've had this bruise on my leg forever, but I thought...
I don't know. I've worked with you for a couple years now, and after you hit your head, I think you've changed.
But I thought, this is how people get hurt in their houses.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
hurt or dead.
It was so scary.
Oh.
I was scared. I was so scared. I was supposed to pick Patrick up from school.
And you were by yourself, I'm sure.
I was by myself in the basement. Who's going to find me? And so I thought...
Need that Q medical alert thing we're talking about.
Exactly.
These
but I think I am no longer doing projects where I go up on the roof. You know, I've taken projects off, you know, and I'm...
Well, what's the life lesson here? You need a spotter. Need a spotter and all things.
No, you know, and really, Mary, this is such an important thing because I hear about these stories all the time, and I am guilty of it as well. The issue is with all of us, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to do this. You have to stop. You have to think about the safety ramifications of all this before you do anything. And the problem is all of us are going 100 miles an hour. And exactly what you just said is like one of those stories. Whatever happened to Mary Sandberg Boyle? Oh, yeah, she died in her basement underneath the piece
of... Well, here's the thing. Two
Steve,
things.
What did she die underneath of?
Two things.
Okay.
One.
So what?
MV, whatever. MD.
MPG.
MPG.
One, don't die stupid. You leave the people that love you behind to explain why they loved you in the first place. And secondarily, I'm not like you guys. I don't have to slow down and think about it because I'm not taking any of it on to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah. So who's the smart one?
Yeah.
See? Mm-hmm. Everybody always says you're the dummy. And what are you?
Wait.
The only thing I do around the house. That
wait, hold on. Everybody says I'm a dummy? Hold on. I wasn't in that meeting.
Oh, look at the time. I got to go.
Steve Grzanich, your question.
Yes, I got a one staff question, Lou. In one of my bathrooms, one of the tiles on my shower at the bottom lower end corner came off.
Yeah.
Is that something that can be fixed pretty easily, or do you have to redo the whole?
I mean, there's a chance that it's affecting the other tiles as well. So the one that came off, pay attention to the tiles around it. Kind of give them a tap and see with your knuckle if they feel solid. If they kind of feel hollow, those probably have to be popped off as well. You need to stop using that shower so that you can allow this to dry. And I would get like a box fan or something on it, let it blow there for at least 24 hours.
Okay.
And then pay attention to the drywall or the backing, whatever is there. If it seems... You know, if you can't poke a hole in it with a screwdriver, you know, with just medium kind of pressure with your hand, then you might be able to patch it, and you could use a little tile adhesive. You could use a glue that you can buy in a squeeze tube called Power Grab, which you can put on the back of the tile, place it on there, allow it to dry overnight, and then touch up the grout around it.
Okay.
And you'll have to shower here, Steve.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah, we have two of them.
But
someone's getting fired in those showers.
There's no question.
If this is a bigger issue, though, I mean, how would I know if this is going to be a bigger issue?
If you can take that screwdriver when you go home and you're like, Lou said if I push with medium pressure and it goes vroom, right into the wall, we're remodeling your shower.
Oh, boy.
We need a couple extra sponsors on that morning
frump.
Show.
Frump is the word you don't want to hear. Frump?
No.
Frump. If you hear frump, it's a problem.
Right.
Last word, Dave.
Okay, real quick, Lou. My deck is a mess. A portion of it.
Let's be honest. That's not your only problem.
No, it's not. I also my buckthorn, but that's for another day. But there's chipping and peeling on one part of it. Is it too late now for this year to go ahead and stain it? Should I just...
Best time of the year to stain clean and stain a deck is right now.
Right now,
the temperatures start to cool. So if you want a pressure washer is the best way to go. If not, the product that I really like that has both a cleaner and a stain is a company called Penofin, P-E-N-O-F-I-N. They make a cleaner called Pro-Tech, which cleans everything. I mean, grease and grime and you name it. And it'll help you get that deck prepared. Then with the Penofin, it's rosewood oil base, goes on a little bit different. You have to brush it on. The whole thing gets brushed on. You brush on a few boards, come back with a rag, and you wipe it off almost like you're finishing a table. But it.
Why don't you take tomorrow's Northwestern game off and do this?
Yeah, right. Where's Dave? Where's Dave? No, but it's going to look great. It really, really looks
nice.
He's
putting on the Penofin. And the texter wants to know if you like whole house surge protectors.
I do. I have one in my own home, and they're really effective. I think that while the ones you buy at the hardware store are nice and they can do a nice job, you're going to plug things in around the home, that electronics that are not protected, a particular computer perhaps that you're using, a laptop from the kitchen table, and these whole house surge protectors, while they need to be installed by a licensed electrician, really do work.
Lou's going on TV right now, then he's on the radio tomorrow, and thanks, bud.
Love you.
Love you back. See you later. Sponsored by American Weather Makers.
My naughty buckthorn is exploding.
The Steve Cochran Show.
So I learned a weatherman thing this morning, and that is that the eye of the storm has to completely make its way on land before they technically call landfall. And that big gaping hole, Steve, in the middle of the eye could be as wide as 50 miles in some places. But they are still getting 100 to 115 mile an hour wind gusts, and we get caught up in whether it's a 1 or a 2 or a 3. And the danger, again, is the surge, the storm surge, because that's when the flooding hits.
Are they still talking about this thing stalling out for the weekend?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. I love WeatherBug. I don't know if you guys use WeatherBug, but they have the camera positions and the weather stations all over. They have one of the WeatherBug stations in North Carolina near Wilmington had a sustained 100 mile per hour wind on it. That's not even a gust. Can you just even imagine that happening and being out 100 mile an hour winds here? I mean, things would be destroyed.
It's amazing we don't lose more news people because they're the only ones that are standing out in it. The storm surge problems, I mean, you have an ocean full of water and you've got rivers that flow to the ocean. All of that is combining to make all of those coastal towns be under a world of hurt, and a lot of people who got left behind are not going to be able to be rescued until the winds drop to no higher than 45 or 50 miles an hour, because these little outboard rafts and things can't get close in a 50 mile an hour wind. So it's a hot mess continued. You just hope that lives will not be lost, because property damage is going to be well into the billions, and we won't know much of that until next week as far as totals and things like that go. Steve has designed it all morning long. When we come back, Justin, who's on the phone?
All right, coming up, we got the download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. Tom Crowley's going to join us from MBX Systems. This is a great story, Steve, because so many companies these days, they will have their employees volunteer. Mm-hmm. And this is what grabbed my attention, that you know, you'll have people go down to the food depository, the food bank, or maybe clean up a park. But there seems to be more and more of an emphasis on volunteering, you know, as employees.
Social consciousness.
Social consciousness. Yeah. But what Tom is doing with MBX is skills-based volunteering. He's taking his employees, go to not-for-profits and others who are in need of services, meaning his company is a hardware company. It's a computer company. So their companies go and will set up a web page or work on someone's server.
That's maintenance. Cool idea.
Or the idea of giving pro bono work to not-for-profits. So we'll talk with Tom Crowley from MBX Systems coming up on the Download in Chicago Business.
It's business, man. It's business time. I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time. Ooh, it's business.
Tom Crowley's the CEO at Signature Bank. Justin wanted to check on his money, Tom, so if you could just see what he's got left, that would be swell. But welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Steve. Pleasure to be here.
And we heard from Justin setting this up that you've got a very unique volunteer program going on. What's the inspiration for it?
Well, you know, actually, as a family, we've been doing it for many years, and we've had the business since 95. And as the years have gone by, you know, you've probably seen more and more people are into the giving spirit at their workplace. So in 2014, we just decided to formalize it and bring it to the workplace. And it's been a great success for us as well as for the community.
Well, take us through this. At NBX, you guys do computer hardware, and
correct.
First tell us what that is, and then tell us what your employees are offering up to not-for-profits and others with their volunteering.
Sure. Again, we started the company in 95, and we provide technology developers who deploy their software on some sort of hardware systems like cybersecurity software, media streaming, high-density data storage. So part of just our employee experience is to provide this MBX Cares program, and it consists really of an umbrella of three different areas. MBX Serves allows people to go out and take a day out of work paid by the company and go out and serve in a particular foundation or school or something of that nature. We also have MBX Helps, which is we find certain causes, or we'll do like an MS walk or walk for Wrigley or Ditka Dash, things right, like right. that. And also MBX Donates, so we have certain foundations and institutions where we donate monetarily. So that comprises the whole program, and it's administered actually by my daughter, Shay.
Nice. That's a family business based out of Libertyville. You know, Tom, MBX, it's interesting, too, because you think about these things when you talk about schools or churches or organizations. One area that they just can't ever get ahead because of budgeting issues and money being tight is technology, trying to get to serve people online or trying to build their technological footprint. So it is important for MBX to be able. It's more than just volunteering. It's actually something that these people need.
Exactly. You know, and we're blessed to have the employees that we have. We're excited about going out and doing this type of work. We have Andrew Barth is one of our systems engineers who's been at the company, God, almost 20 years now. And he's able to, one of the things he helped out on was the Poetry Center of Chicago, updating their computers and doing data backups. Another one of our project managers, Danny Kushner, he's excellent at business presentations and went and coached students up at Mundelein High School in their business incubator program. Another example is we have an account manager who's multilingual, and she provided translation services for an organization that pairs Mexican orphans with sponsor godparents in the U.S.
That's very cool.
So, Yeah, it's working out and it's expanding. You know, we're looking across the company to see what other personal and, you know, professional skills that people have that, you know, could be more widespread throughout the community. So it's exciting. It's a lot of fun.
Hey, Tom, I know you just listed some of the amazing employees, but I'm sure not everyone always knows they want to be a part of a volunteer thing until it happens. Have you seen some people that maybe dragged their feet initially, but then once they did it, they thought, okay, now I see what you're doing here. This is really cool.
Absolutely. That's been one of the coolest parts of the rollout is, you know, people who you might not think want to participate or maybe have a little hesitation because, you know, maybe they're not as extroverted as other folks in the company, and then they end up signing up for one of the opportunities, and they get out there and they're like, wow, this is just so much fun. And it's also it brings, you know, it's an interdepartmental thing, so you'll have sales working with the warehouse people and accounting working with HR, supply chain working with, you know, the engineers.
It's
and
Bobby.
So there's that. Yeah, it's really, really fun. It's a lot of fun. I'm really excited about the program.
As a company, you know, for you, when you think about what it takes now, the competitive nature of hiring, do you think more about the professional and personal skills that are brought to you by a potential employee beyond just what they give to your company? If somebody comes in and says they also can, you know, they put on the bottom of their resume, you know, the other personal skills, is that something that you consider now because of this program?
Absolutely. And even more and more. That's a great point. We, you know, it's become just an unexpected byproduct of this program that when people are considering us, obviously it's a super tight job market. So they're looking for companies that more and more, can they provide me with some type of a community service or outreach program beyond bringing my skills to just my job? And so, you know, more and more as we're talking to prospective interviewees, they're saying, you know, another part I'm really interested about your company is the MBX Cares program. I'm really, you know, I'd like to be part of something like that. And, you know, it's one of the reasons that's helped people decide to come work for us. So you know, that's, it was unexpected, but it's definitely helping.
Now, there's more than just a clipboard and your daughter involved in this. So for companies that are listening that would like to know, can they contact her about maybe the bumps in the road that have come up and how to set up a program like this?
Sure, sure. You could easily contact her, myself. Be happy to really share any parts of our program with anybody who's interested. It's you know, it's always a work in progress because there's no end to any, you know, volunteer activities, and so, you know, we're always looking for new ways to roll it out and to keep employees interested. You know, we have annual service hour goals now as part of our you know, annual planning program, and so yeah, absolutely. We'd be happy to talk to anybody who's interested in learning more about
it. Just call you at MBX, or what's the, or shoot you an email, or what's the best way to do that?
Sure, you could shoot me an email at tom@mbx.com, or that'd be fine, and I could
Shay and I forward it to your daughter, and your daughter could take over because she knows what she's doing.
That's much more than I.
Yeah, you got to run a company, and I'm, it's great that she's doing the work too, because that's a very important thing, and you're doing something innovative in volunteering that we don't hear about every day. So congratulations for the success at MBX Systems, and
I really
thanks for coming
it.
On.
My pleasure. Happy Friday.
All right, man. All the best. There you go. Well, he may be too nice a guy. He may be too good a guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's such an interesting way to think about
volunteerism. It's a cool way to do it.
There's still the standard, and we're going to hear more about that today, but you know, to think about the personal skills you bring to the job and how you can actually volunteer is a great addition to the workforce.
Coming up, Stories of Matter, Steve Grzanich in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
Now, and tomorrow the Akron Zips are playing, you know, my favorite color, purple, and the Big Bad Purple. The Big Bad Purple People Eaters. Has anybody ever used that?
Purple that has
eaters?
Been used over
no,
the years.
Yeah. You know, Dave, I took some time, did some research. Are you familiar with the Campbell Fighting Camels?
The Campbell Fighting
Camels. Campbell, North Carolina. The Campbell Fighting Camels. That's an actual college name. How about the Evansville Purple Aces?
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But you know there's a team out of the University of Idaho. Do you know what they're called?
The Vandals.
The Vandals. Yeah. The University of Idaho Vandals. Let's go, Vandals.
You know who worked at the University of Idaho, I believe, at one time early in his coaching career? The gentleman on the phone.
Come on.
Yeah, ask
He's
him.
A former
ask,
Vandal?
Ask him.
You're a former Vandal?
From the north came a tribe brave and bold, bearing banners of silver and gold. Go Vandals. Come on, you Vandals. Absolutely. You were close to the fight song, but you weren't quite there. It was a good guess. Go Vandals. But no, it wasn't quite there.
Wow.
You didn't see that coming, did you?
And I thought the Zips was the wackiest name in the country. The Vandals. The thing about the Vandals is, funny name, yeah, but they sound like a tough team.
Yeah.
You don't want to mess with the Vandals.
This was not what I expected this morning. It's great to be on with you guys. All right. Here we go.
This is a hardcore football breakdown you count on from me.
Coach Fitz is sponsored by Volvo Northfield.
All right. So what do you do to snap back from Duke? What do you tell the kids this week?
It's not Volvo in Moscow, Idaho. It's Volvo in Northfield.
Exactly right.
Yes, correct.
Okay. It's less of a commute.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed the theme there. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we really lost one quarter of the game, and you know, we had our chances in the second half. We were across the 50. It seemed like every possession offensively didn't finish any drives. I thought our defense really played well down the stretch, and you know, got to get back to what we did in the opener offensively. We got to do a better job up front, protect. We've got to get the ball out of our hands, and then we've got to schematically, as coaches, make sure we're giving our guys the best opportunity to succeed. So, you know, I think we're close to being the team we're capable of, but close doesn't get it done, and hopefully we'll take what we did this week in practice. Again, we've practiced really well. That's what's kind of frustrating. You know, like I talked to the guys about yesterday, is, you know, preparing and consistently preparing is only half the battle. You then got to take it into the environment, into the opportunity, and you got to go perform and have fun. And it seemed like we pressed a little bit last week in the second half offensively, and hopefully we'll bounce back.
You mentioned a couple of times that your defense was in the right place, but their eyes were not. Can you elaborate a little bit about what that actually means?
Well, there were three explosive plays, really five total in the game, but three that really cost us. A post for a touchdown that, you know, we're coverage concept. Our corners got eyes through on. He's covering the number one receiver, the widest to the of the field. Number two, if he breaks out, our corner would roll up. And he just kind of kept his eyes on him just a little bit too long and let the receiver climb on him. And, you know, Jones made a great throw and a great catch, and we gave up a touchdown. And then there were two plays in the red zone that were complements to their base plays off a play-action pass that, you know, we've got guys assigned them. Our guys were there. They just hesitated a little bit or ran past the guy that they were supposed to cover, and that basically led to the 14 points. So, you know, that we gave up in those two drives. So that's the difference. The rest of the time, I thought we fit gaps properly. I thought we were physical. I thought we covered well. So we've got to eliminate those mistakes. And it's pretty rare that I come on with you guys, first of all, and talk about a loss. It's been almost a calendar year.
How about that?
And then, you know, number two, that we beat ourselves. It's pretty rare that we beat ourselves. And I don't want to discredit Duke. I thought they played very well. But, you know, we really didn't give ourselves an opportunity. And that's on us as coaches. It's prepare the team and make sure that we don't beat ourselves. And it's pretty rare that we do. So looking at it more like an anomaly than something that's a norm, and just get it fixed.
Third of four straight bowl games, I think, bowl teams you play from last year, I think, to start the season. Akron, a lot of people don't know much about Akron, yeah, but right. This is a team that won their division in the MAC last year. What are your concerns about them?
Well, really athletic at quarterback. They've got a great scheme that will spread you out and make you play, you know, the whole horizontal and vertical aspects of the field. Coach Bowden, you know, 172 wins in his career. You know, this is an extremely well-coached football team. Defensively, they had a coordinator change, but that's where there's a little bit of an issue for us in preparation. Their D coordinator took over the DC job. And I don't know if our fans remember, but Akron was supposed to play Nebraska in the opener, which would have, I think, really helped from a schematic standpoint. You know, they played Morgan State and played very well last week. They've got an outstanding defensive front, and, you know, I think they're very talented. They, like you said, they won their division. That doesn't happen by accident. It happens because you're talented and you're well coached. So, you know, we got our hands full. We know that. We got to worry about ourselves and bounce back and go play our game.
Dave, pregame starts when?
It starts 6 o'clock tomorrow night and kickoff 6:30. I know, Pat, you like to play early, but night games, you don't mind those, right?
I like to play early because I get to see you post game. You know, I mean, right. I think about the reasons why it's right. You know, it's more for those types of reasons. But you know what? I think our guys enjoy playing at night from a stamp at home. They like playing at night because it reminds them of high school football. And I'm kind of excited. Going to get out and see a couple of high school games here tonight. And then we have our bye week next week. And I'll actually be out of Chicagoland on Monday and Tuesday recruiting. And then back, we'll blitz, so to speak, Chicago again next Thursday and Friday. And hit a bunch of high school games next weekend, too. So fun times for us as coaches. And hopefully we'll start this kind of next 2 weeks segment with a big win here on Saturday night.
You will, and go get it. And for those of you Vandals fans, the University of Idaho is in their bye week, and they're playing UC Davis next week in California.
Okay. Tough game for the Vandals. Tough game.
All right, Coach, you know what you have to say.
Appreciate you all. Go Cats. Bye-bye.
There you go.
Go Cats. There you go.
Dave?
Coach Fitz, sponsored by, again, Volvo Northfield.
Yes, not the one in Idaho.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
The most valuable person on the planet for Friday, September 14th. Liz Gartman and Paul Morello from the Northern Illinois Food Bank and the Greater Chicago Food Depository. Let me get them on the radio now. Good morning, Paul.
Co-winner.
Yes, good morning. That's right. It's a tie, Paul. You're only half of the most valuable person, but you're really good.
I'll take it. Thank you.
All right, let me get Liz in here as well. Liz, you're the other half. I hope you're proud of your achievements.
I'm so proud. Thank you so much.
September's Hunger Action Month nationwide. Opportunity to get involved in the cause and make an impact by volunteering. And look, we've got hungry people on your block you may not know or know about. So, Liz, talk about Hunger Action Month for a second. How can we help?
Yeah, absolutely. There's lots of ways to get involved with Hunger Action Month. You can wear orange to raise awareness of the issue of hunger in your community. You can start a food drive, a fun drive, and every dollar donated to us or Greater Chicago equals $8 in groceries. So your dollar is stretched quite far, and that always feels really good.
What's a fun drive?
Northern Illinois, a fun drive?
Yeah.
That's just where you may, you know, gather colleagues colleagues or friends and family and share just why you're raising money for the food bank or the food depository, and, you know, just share why that's important to you and just be collecting donations. You can set that up online or...
Oh, that's cool. So it's like a sponsorship for a race. How many miles am I going to do? But in this case, it's raising money for food.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually do have a Foodie 5K coming up this Saturday in Romeoville for anyone who's in the area. So you can also run the race and raise funds that way as well. But yeah, there's a lot of ways to get involved.
Paul, it's good to talk to you again. And I always wonder, you know, we hear all these stories about a raging economy, and we hear about politicians on both sides of the aisle talking about this issue. But you really get a sense of how the economy is working when you're at the Chicago Food Depository, when you're at food banks and other places. Do you see firsthand a change in what are the expectations and what's happening inside your doors?
You know, I think so. The challenge that we have continued to see is that we have a very high need in Cook County and throughout the community in Northern Illinois in general. You know, we talk so much about the economy and how it's getting better, and we talk about how, you know, the stock market has gone back up. But the reality that we see every single day, and, you know, and I know that this is the same for Northern Illinois Food Bank, is that people who are just trying their best are still struggling to make ends meet.
Exactly.
People who are hungry in our community are working. You know, they're people who have jobs and who are doing their best, but at the end of the week, at the end of the month, you know, they just don't maybe have enough to put food on the table for their kids and for their family. So that's the reality that we see every single day. And it's been that way since the recession ended. You know, we're still seeing more people serve now than we did before the recession.
There's two economies, the economy of everybody that's doing well and the economy of real people in this country who are still struggling, who haven't gotten a raise and are tired of hearing about how well everybody else is doing, because you just want a fair shot. You want to be able to eat tonight. I don't think that's too much to ask. So, Liz, what's your website?
Our website is solvehungertoday.org.
All right. How about you, Paul?
ChicagosFoodBank.org.
You can help both, and you should. And we thank you. And for all of us blessed not to have this problem, know that your neighbors may, and that all of us are vulnerable and could run into that at some point in our lives. So pay it forward and do something this weekend about it and this month. Thank you guys for being on.
Thank you so much for having us.
Appreciate it. That is Liz Gardman from the Northern Illinois Food Bank. Yeah, co-winners.
Co-winners. I think that's the first time.
Going to need two trophies.
Two trophies.
They're edible trophies. Paul Morello from the Greater Chicago Food Depository as well. That's 729. We're coming back. Oh, Rick Wilson's coming up. I love this guy. You think Hamp's angry on a Friday morning? Well, you should hear Rick Wilson. Hamp, by the way, will join us on is it Monday or Tuesday? I forgot what you told me.
I think we're doing Monday, right?
Monday.
It's Monday.
Previewing.
Monday, you'll preview the Bears Monday night.
It also happens to be his birthday.
On Monday?
Yep.
I'm getting him what I got him last year. Nothing. Headlines next, 720 WGN.
This administration is going to go down in history as one of the most corrupt presidential administrations ever. This is a profoundly venal and corrupt man, and everyone down the chain from him has their own venal corruption about them. They can't run the blocking and tackling against the Russia investigation and the attacks on the Justice Department that Mark Meadows and Devin Nunes and these guys have been doing for months.
Among the many reasons I like Rick Wilson is he's just had it. Sound like anyone you know? At The Rick Wilson, he's a great follow on Twitter as well, Republican political strategist, and a guy that just tells the truth and is trying to save the country. You know, fair enough. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, guys. How are you, Steve?
Doing fine, and welcome to the show. You know what a big fan I am, and I appreciate you saying the things that need to be said. We try to do that here as well, because this isn't about Republican or Democrat. This is about saving the country.
It absolutely is, and you know, it would have been very easy for me to spend the next couple of years, after 30 years of being a loyal soldier in the Republican Party, just keeping my mouth shut and making money. But instead, I literally reached the point. I don't like to overuse the word literally, but I literally reached the point where I could not sleep at night if I pretended that this was a normal president.
Yeah, same here. And I'm a first-time grandfather, and I look at 2.5-year-old Abigail, and my kids, too, are 31 and 27. And why shouldn't they and Abigail have the same shot, Rick, that you and I have had, as opposed to sitting around and watching the country be taken away?
it's utterly true. And you know, my congratulations, by the way. My kids are a little younger than that, but they are both, you know, starting out in life, and they are, you know, in a world that you know, we are at risk every day, both diplomatically and economically and militarily, because this man is absolutely out of control. And no one is there to check him. You know, for as much as the anonymous op-ed writer claims there's a resistance in the White House, no one's stopping the major excesses of this guy every day. And that my concern is rising by the day over his stability, his mental health, and the danger he poses to our country.
Many who support the president will say, well, as he says on Twitter, look at the economy, two Supreme Court judges. There are a lot of policy changes that are conservative in nature. So what is it about President Trump that you feel is a danger to society?
Well, I always want to correct people when they give Donald Trump credit for the economy. The credit for the economy isn't Barack Obama or Donald Trump. The credit for the economy is there's a gigantic ocean of cheap money the Federal Reserve lent to Wall Street for the last decade after the financial crisis. Right. We are floating on top of the biggest sugar high ever in the history of the American economy. And when the crash comes, and we decided we'd have one more bump with the tax bill. When the crash comes, it is going to be absolutely devastating. There is not money ever to pay the bills. We're going, as a country, to go bankrupt. It's been a fun party, but the bill is coming due. So Donald Trump claiming credit and doing a victory march on every single piece of economic news is a very hollow victory at best.
Well, now, we have multiple bubbles going on right now. That's the scary thing.
Of course.
You got the student loan bubble in this country is bigger than the housing bubble was in 06 and 07, along with the credit card debt and all the other things we just spend money on and don't pay the bill for.
It's absolutely true, and we're in a position right now as a country where we've kind of normalized that. And look, Donald Trump's a man who went bankrupt four times because he spent too much money. And so he doesn't see a problem here at all. And as an actual conservative, as an old-fashioned economic conservative, I believe that debt and deficits are, especially at a national government, need to be something we keep a very, very careful check on. But I also think that this is a president, you know, as we've seen from not only the Woodward book, but all the other reporting that's very constant with the Woodward book, this is a guy who is not particularly stable. He's not particularly healthy upstairs. And he doesn't really run this country in the course of the day as someone who is a rational, normal leader. He runs it as Donald Trump, who's this performance artist in the White House, who is only seeking to please and to address his base, not the American people more broadly. And the short temper and the vengefulness and the pettiness. Those are things that I think are below the stature of the president, below the dignity of the president.
Rick, the Republican Party is at a crossroads in the sense that you're more and more candidates that are supported by Donald Trump, that support the president, are beating more established Republicans. So what do you think the future of the party looks like?
I think the future of the party is grim, frankly. I think we're in for a hard reset. You know, Donald Trump has repelled a bunch of groups Republicans traditionally were able to win, including educated women, including educated voters in general, Hispanics and African Americans. Their support for the GOP is lower than at any point in history. And we're talking African Americans traditionally. Republicans used to win about 10% to 12% of the African American vote. Right now, every survey that's out there shows they're somewhere around 2 to 3%. Right. That's almost below the threshold we can accurately measure. So we're in a demographic dead end here. If the parties consist of guys like you and me, you know, 50 plus white dudes, Donald Trump would be great. He'd do fine. The GOP would be perfectly okay, but it doesn't.
You know, the scary thing, and by the way, I highly recommend the book as well. Rick Wilson's book is subtle. Everything Trump touches dies. I do highly recommend it because we're in a 911. You know, I feel like the house is on fire and somebody's going, We should probably eventually get some water, but, you know, maybe somebody else will do it. Because the cowardice of Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan are not just an accelerant to the problem. They get half credit for this. Donald Trump's not equipped for the job. He's not ready for the job. He's not doing the job. Ryan and McConnell know how the job should be done, and they're hiding. And that's inexcusable.
Yep. The moral cowardice of, and look, I've known Paul Ryan a long time. I grew up in politics watching this young guy slightly younger than me come up fast and thought he is the future.
So did I.
This guy has a clear head, a moral compass. He's going to be an amazing leader for this country. And Paul Ryan, I don't know how Trump broke him, but every day I watch Paul Ryan and I think, how does he even, how is he still there? Why did he not walk out of the room and just said, I'm done? Because this isn't what Paul Ryan has always told us he represents and believes in. But he has accommodated Donald Trump. He's normalized him. He's forgiven him. And he's let Devin Nunes and Dana Rohrabacher and Steve King and Mark Meadows and the rest of these idiots run a obstruction operation out of the White House or out of the Congress to protect Donald Trump from Robert Mueller. And that is an absolutely unforgivable transgression of their oath of office to protect and uphold the Constitution.
The other 65% of this country, Rick, and I'll let you go on this, the other 65% of this country who don't support Donald Trump have got to stop sitting on the sidelines. You don't get to just bitch. You got to get out and vote, and you got to stand up for candidates who want to save this country and throw out the ones that don't. And that means you got to take 30 minutes on this election day coming up. Yes, it's the midterms. It's not the presidential one. We've told you where you can do the research, and in the 30 minutes of your life, you can get the information you need for those 30 minutes, including travel time, to do what the greatest privilege in this country is. Exercise your right to vote and speak up on this before it's too late. And you think this is old guys on the porch with lemonade talking? I'm sorry, you're wrong.
You know, people who think that their vote doesn't matter have sat home too many times in our history and the history of other nations and let things that seemed bad but somewhat normal grow into something that's bad and abnormal. And while I don't think, you know, as I always say to people, Donald Trump isn't Hitler, because, you know, obviously Hitler had normal sized hands. But he is a man who has authoritarian tendencies, and he pushes and pushes the buttons of the worst aspects and the darkest corners of political life in this country and beyond. And I believe it's a moral duty to oppose Donald Trump. I believe it's a moral duty to go out and vote for people who are going to help hold Donald Trump in check. And if that means it's Republicans who are going to say, okay, I can't let this game go on, I'm going to make sure I fulfill my constitutional duty, great. As a Republican, I salute that. But what Donald Trump has bought is the fact that the Democrats are almost certainly going to win the House. He's going to lose his shield of protection that he had from Nunes and all these other guys. And accountability is coming to him one way or the other.
Right. Exactly right. Listen, great talking to you, Rick. We'll do it again, I hope.
Absolutely. See, time. Looking forward to being in your great city next week for two speeches.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
And, very excited.
And follow you on Twitter, and he'll keep you up to date on all of it. You're always welcome here. That's Rick Wilson. He's a Republican, kids.
Thanks, Rick.
At the Rick Wilson. Jeannie is here waiting in the PPG Paints grade room. Going to be on with us after 8 o'clock with Dean and Governor Rauner after a very unique speech yesterday. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, was it what he needed to say, and is it going to make a difference?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Whether you believe Governor Rauner is at fault for the problems the state has or not over the past 4 years, whether you're paying attention and the blocking that Mike Madigan has done for so many things of importance. You had to be interested in what the governor said yesterday, because the governor's seat, you get the blame, you get the credit, maybe not as much credit as blame, but I thought it was very interesting what you said yesterday. Governor, welcome to the program.
Hey, Steve, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. What do you want, and I hope you are as well, what do you want people in the state to know who didn't hear the speech or the details?
Well, we're at a critical time in our state. I believe this election is the most important election of my lifetime. I was born in Chicago and have lived here for 62 years. Everything is on the line. We've accomplished a fair amount, a great deal in my first term: education reform, healthcare reform, criminal justice reform, Future Energy Jobs Act, and We've grown the Illinois economy by 210,000 jobs. We got a bipartisan balanced budget finally after a lot of struggles. We've made great accomplishments, but we have a long way to go. And I've learned how to get things done. You know, when I came in, I was from the business sector. I wanted to get a lot done fast. And I've learned that it takes time. You got to communicate. You got to convince people. You got to accept other points of view and just find common ground and just continue to respect and listen and show understanding. And that's how we've gotten a lot of bipartisan things done. I'd like to take what we've learned in the first term and build on some of the successes we've accomplished to get significant things done in incremental improvements in the second term. Get a property tax freeze with mandate relief.
Right, right. All the things that people know they need. Is this an olive branch to Mike Madigan to try to work together?
Well, it's just acknowledging what's true. What's true is that we've gotten good things done. Not enough. We've got a lot more to do. I've learned. I've grown. I believe very strongly I'm a better governor today than I was 4 years ago. And I think I'm in a unique position to lead the effort to get things done in the next 4 years.
Governor Rauner, the media today calling it an apology speech. They're also mentioning that these kind of the strategies falls flat. We saw with Governor Quinn against you doing the commercial where he threw the basketball. And he's like, sometimes you miss. There's other Politico mentions a couple other places where these kind of speeches don't necessarily resonate because in this case, I mean, it's almost a 180 to what we knew as the turnaround agenda. How do you see it as an apology speech? Do you see it as sort of telling the Illinois voters that you made mistakes?
Oh, well, it certainly is acknowledgement of where we've let people down as all elected officials. The struggle about the budget and the impasse was a place where all of us elected officials let the people down. And there was a lot of disruption during that time. I had a lot of sleepless nights worrying about the impact of the disruptions. All of us let the people down in that struggle. But that struggle was about reforms. We need change. We cannot just think that taxing people more and running deficits more is going to solve the problem. And what I said yesterday, and I will say every day going forward, is the changes we need are not partisan. They are not Republican changes. These are changes that we need. They're good government. And Democrats in other states have done them. Democrats in bluer states than Illinois, Massachusetts Democrats have done the workers' comp reform we need. They've also done the government health care reform in terms of how government employees get health care. They've done it. Rhode Island Democrats have done the pension reform we need. California Democrats have done the term limits and fair maps that we need. Every other state have shown a way for Democrats with Republicans get major reforms done, exactly what we need in Illinois. And I'm asking members of the General Assembly, let's learn from the successes we've had. Let's not get into partisan bickering. Let's work together for the common good of the people and get some of these necessary reforms completed.
Yeah, the only way this is going to work is if we start from zero. And in the last 4 years is education. It's not the state we're living in. And Mike Madigan, as always, is invited on this show, but Mr. Madigan, more so than ever, now's the time to step up and say you're going to take credit for your failures in this area and meet the governor halfway. So I'd love to hear from you, Mike Madigan. Of course, I can't call you. You don't have a number. So that's where I'm going to leave it, Governor. I was impressed with the speech yesterday, and I'm glad you made it.
Well, it's an important time for the state. It's been an honor for me to work for the people for the last 4 years. I'm humbled by it. This is the most important thing I'll do, other than being a good husband and father and grandfather. Most important thing I'll do with my life. It's also far and away the hardest thing I've ever done. But it is so important that we change our system. It's broken. And we can do this together on a bipartisan basis. Democrats in other states have done it. Republicans have done it. We can do it together here. And I look forward to all of us joining together as people, as Illinoisans, to create a better future. We can do this.
We're going to hold you to it. You know that.
I look forward to it. I look forward to talking about this very often with you, Steve. Thank you.
Governor Rauner, thank you. And let's come back with your headlines in just a moment at 720 WGN. Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve Grzanich is, and he'll bring you those stories that matter in a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you
Comedian Gina Yashir is going to be a special guest this morning on Moron Entertainment.
I love Gina.
Yeah, you may know her from The Daily Show. And John DeCosta here. John, you know Gina from stage.
I don't like John that much.
Well, no one really does.
I love Dean.
Well, how do you feel about Gina?
I have always loved Dean. The what?
Gina.
Oh, as I said, I worked with Gina about a year and a half ago in Kansas City, and I recommended her to Zanies. They booked her for New Year's Eve. She's great. I love her.
Okay, good. GinaYashir.com. She'll be in here in just a second if the building security allows her to enter. They actually kept me out of the building this morning, so they're good.
Trust security.
Kevin Hart's in town?
Kevin Hart left yesterday, but he was here for a couple of days promoting his
Never called.
He didn't?
Mm-mm. Did he know this is Moron Entertainment and he's always welcome here as well?
Love to have him on.
Sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. All right, so why was he in town?
He is promoting a new movie that he's got coming out with Tiffany Haddish called Night School. Right, he's sort of this, kind of loser who goes to night school to get his GED. The night school teacher is Tiffany, is a very tough love night school teacher, Tiffany Haddish, who he's pretty funny. You know, you got to like Kevin Hart, and I do. I think he's pretty funny, and he's a great guy. He also was at Wrigley Field the other night and threw out the first pitch. Not the worst first pitch we've ever seen.
No.
Not the greatest.
Right.
also sang the seventh inning stretch. Not the worst seventh inning stretch we've ever heard, but also not the greatest. But I sat down with him yesterday. I was able to sit down and chat with him.
What'd he say?
Well... First, I want to mention where
were you?
We talked because he was at a school. Get it? The movie is called Night School.
Ah.
So we went to an actual school, the DRW College Prep School, which
got it.
Is on the west side of Chicago. And before we play this cut of him talking about his Wrigley Field experience, so as I'm walking into the room, they brought one of the students from the school into the room to meet Kevin, real cute kid. I was talking to him out in the hallways. His name was Daniel, and they brought him in to meet Kevin. And little Daniel was maybe 10 years old. You know, super nervous meeting Kevin Hart. Kevin couldn't have been nicer.
Well, that's nice.
Couldn't have been more compassionate and encouraging to this.
Well, that's very nice. They're the same size, so maybe that helped.
I think that may be the reason why they did this at a school. So a fair amount of people would be. Tall that Kevin would be taller than so
wow.
I think that
well, he's not lying.
I think that may have been the reason. Actually, this 10-year-old was about Kevin's height.
Yeah, yeah.
They were about the same height, but so anyway, I asked him about singing the seventh inning stretch and throwing out the first pitch.
Take me out to the ball game.
The toughest thing about me exposing my vocals is the response. You know, people want music after that.
Yeah.
It becomes, Kevin, can you please give us a Christmas album? You make us feel so good. You bring families right. closer together. Can we get more? And it's not that I don't want to. I just don't have the time.
Yeah,
but I think there was a moment, if you really look at it yesterday, you look out, you'll see the Cubs fans crying.
Right.
Yeah. They might have been.
Which
they might have been. You know, that game was close until around the seventh.
Yeah.
It was good.
It kind of fell apart.
It kind of went bad after Kevin.
I don't know what happened.
I don't know if you realized that.
And congratulations on a spectacular night at Wrigley Field last night.
Thank you, man. 273.
How many?
273.
Because I thought you said three something.
Well, they corrected me.
They corrected, but still, 273.
273.
Impressive.
It's heat. It's one of the fastest pitches
ever
thrown in the world.
I saw the catcher, like, ow.
Take his glove off.
Like he couldn't stand the pain.
He did this for a second, which is understandable when it's coming in that fast.
Did you guys see something I didn't see? The ball didn't make it to home plate. He bounced it.
That's the director of the movie, Will Packer.
273 miles an hour is strong. Let me get Gina Yashir here to join us now.
Hello, Gina.
Good morning, Gina.
That's yesterday, by the way.
I am so sorry.
That's all right. It's,
by the way, it's Steve Cochran.
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 All right. In French. Cochran.
Yes. Gina Yashir is here. And she's in town, not for Kevin Hart. She's in town to do her own thing and reunite with John. She and John had a lovely reunion just moments ago.
Yes, we did. Was there hugging?
There was some hugging going on.
There was a hug of chests.
And it wasn't show business hugging where you go, oh, hello. You were actually happy to see him.
Oh, no, definitely.
We had a good time together at Zanies in Chicago.
That's right, yeah. And now I'm back. back yes. in Shottown.
All right, so more on Gina in a second. But Gina, jump in on these movie reviews, too, even if you haven't seen the films.
Okay, they're all rubbish. No, I'm joking. What films are
That's how I do my reviews.
Best movie of the weekend is what?
Is this little movie that's called A Simple Favor. With Blake Lively and Anna Kendrick and the guy from Crazy Rich Asians.
Which one?
Henry Golding, the super handsome lead guy that's in the movie. It's the movie starts off like kind of a really clever girlfriend comedy. You wouldn't even think that it's going to wind up being a murder mystery, but it slowly evolves into that.
Yeah. I thought this was single white female from the trailers.
That's what it looks like. The trailer is so deceiving of what this movie is really about, and I give them credit because they don't give away really what this movie is about. Anna Kendrick's character is like one of these super moms that does everything and is involved in every activity and volunteers for everything. And while she's waiting for her son to come out of school one day, she meets this other mom who is kind of martini-soaked, pill-popping, barely even knows that she's got a child in the school. These two moms sort of hit it off, and the pill-popping mom asks the responsible one, can you watch my daughter? Can you watch my son for a couple of hours after school one day?
And then?
And she goes missing.
Oh, boy.
She goes missing. Ooh. That's never good when the mom goes missing.
It's not good. Gina, were you in this film? Did you kill her?
Oh, yeah. I look, I don't want to give
it
away.
We don't want to spoil it. Yeah.
I don't want to give it away, alert. But she never comes back.
Spoiler alert.
And I have no idea. I haven't seen this. I've seen the trailers.
It's really good.
Okay.
It's really good. There's so many different twists and turns in this movie that really keep you hanging on. It's really well performed. Paul Feig directs it, who normally does lighthearted, kind of comedic things.
He's a great director.
And the movie kind of turns into film noir. So highly recommending this one.
All right. Now stand by for White Boy Rick and the Predator and more with Gina Yasha Ray. Second, where are you working this weekend?
I am doing the Lincoln Theater tomorrow night. Yep, my own show. That's basically
it. Got anybody opening for you?
I've got Corey Bell opening for me. She's hilarious. I worked with her on True TV on Laugh Tracks. So I thought, let's get her in and let's have a good night together. So that's what we're going to do.
Lincoln Hall, right in the heart of Lincoln Park, where the Three Penny Theater used to be.
I have no idea
what
you're
telling you. There's a lot of history.
So you don't know that he's right.
There's a lot of history there.
It's okay. Yeah. All right, Dean, hold on. Stand by. Gina, more with you in a second.
I was recently diagnosed with sleep apnea. Yeah, that's a fat disease. It is. It's a fat disease. Now, I'm not going to have a go at fat people. I used to be a fat girl. I lost weight. But I don't tell you, you lose the weight, you still get fat diseases. I feel cheated. Obviously, I'm still fat on the inside.
That's Gina Yasha Ray. The Lincoln Hall tomorrow night. Matter of fact, if you go to her website, it's a great way to buy tickets if there are any left. Even if they're obstructed view, we highly recommend, Dean.
Do people know that Gina is really from Alabama and is doing that fake
accent just to get attention?
Yep. Why are you telling people my secrets?
That's exactly right. By the way, GINAYASHERE, GinaYashere.com. All right, Dean, a couple more movies. White Boy Rick.
Disappointing, even though I love Matthew McConaughey. And he does create another one of these creepy, dysfunctional kind of roles that he specializes in.
You know what I think is creepy now? What's going on with his hair? Are they planting new stuff up there? What do we know?
Didn't look like new crops had been put in.
Huh. But he doesn't shower. Is that correct, Dean?
It's.
I've heard that.
That's
optional.
Have you heard his co-stars?
I did not get a good sniff of him.
Yeah, but, don't come out with their lost hair nostrils in.
Ordinarily, I pride myself in sniffing all the guests.
Gina, do you do that? Do you smell famous people?
Absolutely not. I'm OCD, so my nose is not getting that close to people. I'm a bit of a germaphobe. Not happening.
All right, well, Dean will do it for you.
Dean, sniff away.
But he does a little bit have that look like, did you take a shower before you came here? Today, there is a little bit of that. But even still, an amazing actor. He's not White Boy Rick. His son in the movie is White Boy Rick.
Okay.
And played by a kid named Richie Merritt. It's his first time acting, first time doing anything.
Wow.
He told me a story that the way he got this role is that he was in high school, was misbehaving in high school, was sent to the principal's office. While he was in the principal's office, there happened to be a casting director who was coming to the school to discuss auditioning kids who are in their theater programs for possible roles in the movie. They see this kid sitting on the bench in the principal's office, and they say, this could be our kid. They audition him. He gets the job.
Wow.
For sitting.
It's a great story.
For misbehaving
for
and sitting in the principal's. Right.
So, that was around when I was a kid. I would have done lots of movie roles.
I spent most of my time in school in the principal's office.
Absolutely.
You'd be a Hollywood question. Superstar.
I could have had an Academy Award by now if I had known that.
All right. Before,
but the movie's kind of flat. Individual parts of this movie are better than the movie as a whole. I gave it a Dean's List C. The Predator, I think, is just an overproduced, frantic mess. Didn't care for it at all.
Sounds like the previous Predators.
Right. Yeah. Like all the other Predator movies, right.
All right, so Gina, you grew up in London.
Born and raised London, England, yeah.
When did you realize you were funny?
My mother said I was funny from the womb. She said that, because I was born after twins, so there was a bit of room in there. And apparently, I used to play hide and seek with the doctors when they were trying to find me.
Oh, okay.
And she said, I always knew you were going to be a crazy one. That's basically. So I came out funny, apparently.
Are you the crazy one in the family? Nobody else is in show business?
Nope. Everybody else is accountants, engineers, you know.
Well,
management.
Dean, that's like your family. Dean's got 28 sibs, and he's the only one in show business.
Right.
28?
Well, wow. Maybe a slight exaggeration.
My parents needed different hobbies.
But yeah, so I'm the only crazy one in the family. But yeah, I was, you know, I'm the typical class clown at school, getting kicked out of class for, you know, disrupting and all of that kind of stuff.
So, well, here's the thing. John DeCuss, whose opinion we respect mightily, was talking about you months ago.
Ooh.
And said, well, I love Gina. Great to see how well her career is going.
Thank
and
you.
Talked about how you guys had connected through
Zanies.
We had
Zanies a great week at Zanies.
At Zanies.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so, John, you highly recommend, right?
Oh, well, If I wasn't working, I would be there myself, and I'm not kidding. That was so much fun working with you. You're such a good person, too.
Thank you so much. You know. Thank you. Yeah, we always have a great time. This is what I do. I love doing what I do, and I think I enjoy meeting other comedians and working with new people, and the audience is always fantastic.
You seem way too normal, not damaged enough to be in this business.
I know, because I had a proper job and a proper life. I used to be an engineer before I did this. I've lived, people.
Wow.
I have lived.
How does that help you as a stand-up to have lived, to have had a job in a different field and not come up as someone who just wanted to be a comedian?
Yeah, I just feel like I've had a real life. I've had real trials and tribulations. I've done real things. I used to build and repair elevators. I got up in the morning and worked hard with my hands. So I feel like I've had a proper, I've got good life experiences.
And Dean, this is another one of these elevator comics who does nothing but Otis material. I think you know what we're talking about here.
Career's had its ups and downs.
Yes.
So fun.
Now, get out, all of you now.
It is an interesting transition. I've known a million comedians in my life. I've never met one who went from elevator engineer to the stage.
There you go.
Right?
Could you take a look at our elevators before you head out?
You'd still have to pay me, though.
So when you when you go on stage, did your mom think you were nuts?
Absolutely. She thought I was crazy. Because like I'm from an African family, and we're very academic.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've got a degree in electronics, and my mom was like, oh, good, engineering, good job, I like it. And then I'm like, I've become a comedian. She's like, so you have left engineering to become a clown? She just didn't understand the concept. She didn't get it.
She went straight to clown.
Yeah, she still thinks I'm a clown. She's like, why haven't you got the big shoes? I don't get it.
Yeah, Dean, clowns. Hello, Dean,
no,
clowns.
Don't think I'm not getting turned on.
All right, I'm going to send people to your website. This is the best way to get tickets, and you can find out everything Gina's doing at Gina Yashere. I apologize. Gina Yashere.
Yashere. Listen, just Google black British chick comedian. I will come up.
Gina Yashere.
I just Googled funny from the womb and she came up.
Yeah. Plus, there's a picture of your mom screaming clown.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Gina Yashere. Gina Yashere. It's great having you here. The next time you come in, I won't screw your name up, I promise. And you're always welcome here.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and kill it tomorrow night.
Thank you. See you guys tomorrow.
I'm going to call your mom and tell her that you're doing great. Dean, what'd you say?
What the, no, I said thank you, Gina.
Yeah, thank you, Dave.
I'm just thanking her.
Yeah.
And I'm still a little turned on.
The clown shoes.
Oh, I've got a red nose and everything.
Oh, it just gets deeper in here. Steve Stone's coming up, and Troy Murray, too. Gina Yashere, GINAYASHERE.com. Just like it sounds.
I believe I am psychic.
The Heat tonight, and a guy on the mound that does not have a big fastball. I think that 13 home runs away is probably going to go by the boards this evening.
Bring it in the air, deep left, just in time. My first prediction, I am either going to fly or ruin that family's picnic.
Hey, you've ruined our picnic.
Psychic.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve Stone, sponsored by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants. Where are you eating today, Steve?
Today, I'm in Baltimore. However, this weekend, the Bub City brunches. You can't beat the brunches. Both mac and cheese and hash browns, terrific. Love them. Would go there. That would be the spot.
All right, you know Baltimore. I lived in Baltimore for, I don't know, for 2 years. The Inner Harbor is beautiful, but I miss the old Memorial Stadium. Just a big barn of a dump. You know, you go there, there was no parking. You'd have to park in the neighborhoods. Kids would jump on your trunk, and they'd direct you to a yard where you would park. In neighborhoods you would never go through again because, frankly, there was some trouble there. But your car was perfectly safe. You'd go in and you'd see the greenest grass. You'd see Boog Powell and Brooks Robinson and Elrod Hendricks and Andy Etchebarren. How am I doing so far, Steve?
No, you're doing pretty good. And this was Don Buford. Great place to play ball, too.
I bet it was, yeah.
Yeah, it really was.
All right.
Great place to pitch, and they had wonderful teams.
And Earl Weaver, you know, and Earl Weaver would sometimes come out and scream about the lineup card, and he's the one that filled it out. That's how cranky he was. All right.
Hey, Steve, obviously you're close to the Hurricane. Is there concern that they won't get the game in playing in Baltimore?
Well, we heard ahead of time, and this was what the league was talking about, was that the only game that was iffy at all would be the game this evening. We don't know exactly what's going to happen as far as that's concerned, but we're pretty sure we're going to get the series in. Not that it really matters to either of these teams. They're both having kind of years that you want to put behind you, but right now we're thinking if there's any problem at all, it'll be tonight, and right now it's not raining, so you know, we don't really know exactly what's going to happen, but to all the people who are going through just a terrible time, we obviously, our thoughts and prayers go out to them.
Absolutely.
It's really, really difficult. As we know, they're getting just pelted by it, and it hasn't quite gotten up to this area yet, but we expect whatever's coming, we expect it coming today.
Steve, we've had a week for the news to sink in regarding Michael Kopech, but it's the first chance we've had to speak with you. So I wonder what you say to Sox fans who are distraught over the news. Give them something to hang their hopes on.
Well, history of Tommy John surgery says that the surgery is successful. It's done very well because they've done so many of them. And Michael is very young. He'll come back. He's strong. He has a wonderful work ethic. I think he'll come back. I think he'll be fine. Obviously, it's something where you hate to see a guy miss a year, but that's usually the recovery time for this. But at his age, you figure he will come back and things will go pretty well for him. There's a whole history of guys who have had Tommy John and come out and been just wonderful afterward. John Smoltz comes to mind, you know, made the Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame career after having Tommy John. There's a bunch of guys who have been through it. And of recent vintage, they are coming back. The troubling thing is having that second Tommy John, but hopefully that won't be the case here. So I think although it is a setback, I can't tell you that it's not. Anytime you see one of your guys that you're really counting on go down for any length of time, it is a setback, and there always is uncertainty with surgical procedures. This is one that's been refined over the years, and I think, you know, you don't want to have a surgery. If you're going to have one, whether it's elbow or shoulder, you would take the Tommy John, you would take the elbow surgery. It doesn't affect the velocity.
Right.
And so I think he's going to be fine. It's just going to take a while.
Steve, you know, there's much made about the rebuilding process on the South Side, and there was talk about what it means next year. Obviously, we've heard a ton about service, time service with Eloy Jimenez and some of the others that are there. But when you have an injury to someone who is really who's considered a centerpiece and you know they're going to miss a season, does it change the strategy from an organization about how they want to rebuild? Do they think about 2020 as opposed to competing next year?
No, I mean, that's what everybody that I talk to associated with the organization says the same thing, and that is, this is why you stockpile as many of these prospects and as many of these young quality players as you can, because you have to anticipate for a certain percentage, number one, not making it, also a percentage getting injured and being set back somewhat. So although it's not anything that you want to that you want to throw a party about, it's something that you fully anticipate because it's going to happen. I mean, this is a game of attrition. Guys get hurt. Bodies don't hold up quite as much as we'd like it. It's a professional sport. It's very demanding. And so if you're not anticipating that, you're not doing service to the organization. And believe me, the Sox, although in recent vintage up until this year, injuries have been something that have come infrequently to the Sox organization. One of the best in the business as far as missed days on the disabled list and getting players back after they've been hurt after surgical procedures. The Sox have done a great job. It seemed to have piled up this year. There was an inordinate amount of injuries and some serious injuries to some quality players. This was a disappointing year physically. Hopefully the Sox have gotten this one out of the way and we won't be plagued with these kind of things going forward.
Steve, I want to take a minute before we let you go, because my friend, comedian John DeCoste, friend of the program here, part of the show, John DeCoste is here. John's dad, Gene, worked for Wilson Sports for 60 years and handled baseball. And if you needed a Wilson glove in the big leagues, you probably dealt with Gene on some level. And I know he was at Sox Park for, you know, your run there as well. And I don't know if you ever crossed paths with him, but one of the greats. And he passed the other day.
Sorry to hear that. And I was a fan of the Wilson glove for years. The A2000 was a glove that I used. So I was very familiar with both the product and Gene.
All the best to you. Stay safe there in Baltimore and get a couple of wins this weekend.
Thank you. We're looking forward to it.
Take care. Sponsored by Let Us Entertain Your Restaurants. And John's here. I know you're doing fine, and I don't want to have you redo a eulogy here, though I understand you killed it.
I did.
But
threw the mic down.
But your dad, I only had a chance to meet your dad a couple of times, and he just seemed like a fascinating guy and a good guy. And I don't know if you took any satisfaction in the fact, but there were hundreds of people that showed up to say goodbye.
Yeah, and this was wasn't your traditional wake. It was sort of just that's how we wanted. He didn't want a lot of attention, but he got a ton of attention, and the condolences that came through were just kind of blowing.
Is it Roger Goodell sent it up?
Major League Baseball and football, and he's just 60 years with Wilson Sporting Goods. It's pretty amazing. But
and one of his best friends in life was Billy Pierce.
Billy Pierce, yeah. So Billy and I got the text from Bob, and he contacted Elizabeth, my dad's wife, and it was good. But we went on, with Billy
Pierce. Who used to hang out at your house when you were a kid?
Lefty Gomez, Hall of Famer Lefty Gomez.
Wow.
You know, Ron Santo has been to the house.
Just basically anybody that was in town.
Yeah, pretty much.
Would come by the house.
Yeah, it's kind of a who's who. I got to tell the story of, I would always go to Rensselaer for Bears training camp with my dad. And then one day he couldn't find me, and I'm running all over the place. I'm in the golf cart with George Halas, and I want tape. I just want that white tape that they were. I'm like, yeah, Mr. Halas, that's great. These are all your guys. Wonderful. Where's the tape?
Yeah, I want to play with the tape.
The tape.
Two quick stories.
Yeah.
One, the Dick Butkus cereal box.
Oh, it wasn't a cereal box. The guy came up. So in 73, and I'm going to bring it in next week, Wilson got into youth football, and they took my photo with Dick Butkus and a couple of other kids, and we were on every box that went across the country. Had no idea what it was.
The box for the football itself?
Yes, with the helmet and the pads for kids.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So my mom dragged me to like Toys R Us or something like
so
that.
So you could see you.
Yeah. And I'm like,
and are you wearing the gear?
That's a great swap meet.
I've got a red jersey.
Cool as that.
Somebody gave me the boxes. I actually have the boxes, which I didn't know existed. So.
And this is a longer story, but it's important, so I want you to tell it. Ted Williams didn't talk to anybody.
Ted Williams, my dad, first spring training, 1955, 53, something like that, goes down, and his boss says, by the way, when you get down there, Ted Williams is a Wilson guy, get pictures with him. Well, it turned out it was a joke because nobody ever got pictures with him. But Ted Williams comes up to goes, oh, wait, you're Lefty Gomez's buddy. He said, take care of you. And he got the pictures, and when he came back, his boss said, so you get those pictures? And my dad gave him the envelope, and he was like, I'll be a son of a... So it was great, and they were friends ever since. So.
And one of the reasons I think he was tight with Billy is because I knew Billy, one of the great guys, period, and I think your dad falls into that category, so it's not a surprise they were pals.
And as I told Bob when he came to the New Year's Eve show, we caravaned down to spring training in Arizona. We followed them, and they followed us, and we would hang out and play as kids. They didn't even know.
That's funny that you're going to spring training, or was it spring training with Billy Pierce?
Spring training with Billy Pierce.
God bless your family, man.
Yeah, and condolences. And
thank you to everybody. Everybody was phenomenal. So,
what's coming up at 9?
From the Allstate Skyline Studio,
the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
We are lucky on 720 WGN not just to have every Blackhawks game for you, but to have the best broadcast team, period, for hockey. And that's John Weideman and my friend Troy Murray. Hey, buddy.
Good morning.
Good to talk to you again. You know, Dave, Troy and I have this.
Steve, do you know what I'm doing right now?
I don't know what you're doing.
I'm going to work.
It's got to seem a little weird,
year, right?
Got to seem odd, doesn't it?
I'm lost. I'm trying to find the NBA arena. I'm lost. Right. Camp starts today. Festival tomorrow. Yeah, I'm going to work.
You take the summer off, and next thing you know, you forget where you were.
So, exactly.
So Troy and I have an annual tradition, Dave, where we talk about playing golf every summer, and then we don't normally do it. We took it an extra step this year. Didn't see each other anywhere. And then I saw him the other day at the Four Feathers and played with your pal Cliff Coral, who was out there after back surgery, hitting a few shots. And what a good guy Cliff is.
Love the guy. He's the president of our alumni, and boy, he's just a wonderful ambassador for the game. Just, you know, he's been in Chicago since he came here, and this is his home, and boy, I'm sure glad Cliff is part of our alumni association. He's a big part of it.
Well, you go to work, Troy, whether you want to get back to work or not. I know you love being back around it, so I'm sure you're anxious to get there. What's the biggest question? I mean, everybody obviously wants to know about the status of Corey Crawford, but what's the biggest question in your mind about this team?
The uncertainty. There's, you know, you can ask a ton of questions, and the answer is, I don't know. You know, can the core group of guys rebound to the level and expectations of you know, where people and the organization think they should be? The big question, as you mentioned, is Corey Crawford. You know, I'll find out today whether he's going to be on the ice tomorrow. He was down doing the physicals, and I think everybody's excited to see one way or the other. I guess excited to see if he is on the ice, disappointed if he is not. And then some youth on the blue line there, and some, if I'm a player this year, guys, I'm excited because there's a real opportunity. Joe Quenneville the other day, I think maybe yesterday, Steve was talking about the opportunity for these young players to make the roster this year, and it's going to be based on how they perform in the preseason and training camp. So if you're a young kid, you're coming here, you go, man, this is a great opportunity. But with that being said, there's uncertainty. You know, you'd like to go into the season with maybe one or two spots open for competition to some of the young prospects coming in. But this year, in some ways, it's wide open in a lot of areas. So these young prospects got to take advantage of it.
Yeah. Troy, we had Brian Campbell on yesterday, Adam Burrish, Coach Q, everyone talking about the fitness test and what the players went through yesterday, and you mentioned about physicals. Take us back to your playing days and having to take those tests and start training camp.
There was no physical testing at the beginning of training camp when I first came in the NHL, and that's the truth. Tommy Lysiak, this is a great story. Tommy Lysiak was living down in Atlanta, and after the season was over, he put his skates in his trunk
to go down for the off season. When he came back, he took his skates out of the trunk, hadn't skated once. There was so much rust, and this is back when they had steel blades,
sure,
not the plastic that they have now. There was so much rust on his skates that they had to completely take everything off and redo everything because he hadn't skated once all summer. Training camp was longer back then, and training camp was to get into shape. Somewhere along the line, I think Roger Nielsen came in and instituted a bike test that was, we went way out somewhere in the western suburbs and rode bikes around a park district or a park reserve. And there were some cheaters that took some shortcuts but ended up at the finish line ahead of some of the guys who thought they should have. But, now it's an all-year-round sport. They get, sure, a couple weeks off, and then they're right back into their program, and they've got individually produced programs from Paul, sure, Goodman, the strength and conditioning coach. And, man, these guys are wonderful athletes, and they come in. And these bike tests and stuff that they do, the VO2 testing and stuff, it takes everything, the wind gate, which is, I think, as hard as you can go, and they put the resistance, oof, further and further. It may sound easy just when we're talking about it, but I'll tell you what, it's some of the most grueling tests that you'll ever go through at first day of training camp. But those numbers don't lie, and if you don't come into good shape, you're not going to make the camp if you come in good shape, but if you don't come into camp in shape, you're way behind the curve, and that's not good for these players.
You have never, ever, ever seen more fit guys than the Hawks getting ready for the season, and the NHL has gotten smaller and faster.
This is the great part, though. When I first came out of University of North Dakota, I walked into the Blackhawks locker room, and this was, back in the early 80s. There was ashtrays built into the stalls.
How about that? How about that?
Holy... That's ridiculous.
I don't
the weird part was having Tony the weird part was Tony Esposito had one built into the goalie pipes, and he'd switch it right side, left side. Troy, Training Camp Festival tomorrow. Have a great time, buddy, and we'll talk to you soon.
Well, it's going to be exciting. I think everybody get down there. The doors open at 9.
$5.
10,000 people get $5 to get in. Tickets are still available. Go to Blackhawks.com. 10 Peppers, 10,000 people get an Alex the Brink at bobblehead. I'm going to be down there signing some autographs, taking some pictures. So come on down. It's going to be a great day and start the season off the right way.
Exciting. Amen. Thank you. Exciting. Looking forward to it. Next hour, we're going to do something special. We're going to talk about Make-A-Wish, extended discussion on Make-A-Wish and the important work they do every day with some families that have benefited from it and want to talk about the benefits they're gaining. In the meantime, coming up, Stories That Matter. Steve Grzanich talks more about Hurricane Florence. The video of this stuff is incredible. It's a mess. That's, of course, from the newsroom, the Northwestern Medicine newsroom on WGN Radio.
Well, this is definitely Wacker Drive. If my estimations are correct, we should be very close.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
All right, 9:15. We want to make sure that you understand something. And that one thing we want you to understand is there's a big event coming up for Make-A-Wish. The walkrunwish.org website is the place to go for details. And it's an opportunity for you to contribute and help out. But first, let me bring in Make-A-Wish director. Is that fair? Is that
CEO.
The title?
CEO.
Yeah.
CEO.
But director works as
what's
well.
Your fancy schmancy title is? I just want to make sure I get it right. Tell everybody your name.
Stephanie Springs.
And Stephanie, how long have you been with Make-A-Wish?
13 years.
It's a wonderful organization.
Absolutely.
And it's got to be incredibly rewarding work for you, but I'm sure it's very difficult at times as well.
There are moments, but the joy certainly surpasses any sorrow. So it's a wonderful, wonderful job.
Talk about the event, Walk, Run, Wish.
So it's Walk for Wishes, and it's on September the 30th in Bussey Woods. And you can go to walkrunwish.org in order to register. But this is a fun family event. It's costumed. And so folks come out.
Stephanie will be there. Our Stephanie.
Yes. Yeah, and this Stephanie will be out there with all of her friends and in boas. But it's just a fun event. And families come out. Wish families come out. It's almost a reunion at times for them with the organization because they maybe haven't seen some of us and some of the wish granters who help their wish come to be.
So when families are granted a wish, do you find that they try to pay it forward for other families?
Yeah, often that happens. Often. And even if it's not an opportunity for pay it forward, just to sometimes be with others who have gone through similar type of events and
sure.
and illnesses is actually very, very, very good. And so it's supportive.
Ms. Springs, there's as far as charitable organizations go, Make-A-Wish is well known. In the fact that a lot of people know that this is an organization that gives wishes to terminally ill children. What don't we know about Make-A-Wish? What are the things we need to know?
So one of the things that everyone needs to know is that while Make-A-Wish started off granting wishes only to terminally ill children, that's not what we do today. A number of our children are ill to the point where we may lose them, but a number of our kids make it. And the thing that we like to think of is that the wish actually helps make them stronger and helps them to fight the situation that they're dealing with.
There's scientific evidence behind that.
Absolutely.
There's no
Absolutely.
Question about it. Let me introduce one of the families, and Dad's here, Jim Taylor. Jim, tell me about Kylie, your little girl.
Good morning. Yeah, Kylie actually is one of those children who does not have a terminal diagnosis, mm-hmm. Thank goodness. So, but we experienced Kylie's wish trip. We went to Disney World 2 years ago. And, you know, you hear about how the wishes can be life-changing events and have really positive effects on not only the wish child but the family, and that couldn't be more true for our family. We had no idea the things that we could do with Kylie because her diagnosis is really unknown, doesn't have a name, just chromosome abnormalities.
Is that right?
Yep. She's
well, how rare is that?
As far as we know, she's the only one. There are the ability to see the abnormalities at the level that they can now is only about 15 years old, so there could be more kids that have this specific combination of abnormalities, but not that the world.
How old is Kylie?
Kylie's 5.
So, and one of the great faces you're ever going to see. She doesn't miss a trick. Every time you start talking, she goes, "Stop yapping, Dad."
Yeah.
But the Disney folks too are wonderful about making any accommodations needed, right?
Absolutely, and in fact, you know, we never thought it would be possible for us to travel, let alone go to Disney World with Kylie, just because she has a lot of complex medical needs. And
sure.
Make-A-Wish, of course, made that possible for her trip there. And Kylie has two brothers, an older brother and a younger brother, and it really was life changing. It opened up a world of things for us, things that we didn't even know she was interested in. And we've actually gone back as a family a few times now to Disney World because we know we can travel with her, and she's actually made quite a few developmental gains.
Opened up your world as well.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's a mental component to it as well. I mean, the stress of being diagnosed with something that just people don't know. I mean, as a parent, the mental anguish that goes along with not being able to put a name to something.
Sure. Well, and I would think, too, that the relief you must have experienced, first off, and it'd be perfectly human, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you're in this situation, you're thrilled, but you're sort of dreading everything you think you're going to go through, and then you find out how well it goes.
Yeah, you know, I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, we actually put off going for a wish for quite a while because we, like you said, Stephanie, that we thought, well, you know, Kylie's not terminal. There's so many other kids that would be much better off with a wish than Kylie. But we learned a lot about Make-A-Wish and that it's really for every kid that has a life-changing situation.
I'm glad you brought that up because I think there is a perception that these are kids that you're doing the last thing for them, and it doesn't have to be that.
And we really think that it helps propel them. And so
I think you're saying it. Sure.
It propels.
Right. Yeah.
And it brings families together. Sometimes the families have been kind of spread out because the child is sick. Mm-hmm. It gives them an opportunity to bond, rebond. And so it really is a strengthening gift that we give to families.
Sunday, September 30th, Bussy Woods in Elk Grove Village starts at 9 in the morning. You can walk, you can run, but mostly you can help wishes get granted. Walkrunwish.org. Set a goal, make a donation, invite others to join you, tell people why you're walking, or just donate online.
And have some fun.
We're going to meet some more families here in a second.
I got it. I'm patched in.
All right, let me hear it.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
We're locked. Systems check out. Signal across the board. What's the frequency?
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All right, let's meet another Make-A-Wish family here at 926. Happy to have all of you in studio. And we got to do... Send somebody in here to raise the curtain so they can see how great this view is. Oh, yeah, CLTV needs them closed so they have lighting. I get it. What happens is the light from the sun bounces off your bald head and my bald head and screws up the camera.
Oh, I should have known.
Should have known.
Let's meet the Pantaleons, who are here as well. Mom, you're Sydney, right?
Yes.
And tell me who your little boy is here.
This is Peyton. Peyton. He is three.
I'm watching you, Peyton.
Can you say hi, buddy? Say hello?
No, not possible.
He was excited to be here.
Not possible. And who's this handsome devil next to Peyton?
Say, Papa. This is my Papa.
No. Papa, lean into that microphone for me, will you?
Hi.
What's your name, sir?
Frank Pantaleone.
And Sydney and Frank, I want you to tell me a little bit about this guy. It's a good-looking boy right there.
He is. He's pure trouble. They say the cute ones are trouble. It's true. So Peyton, he has been a Wish kid for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
He has what you call adrenal leukodystrophy. It's a genetic brain disease. thankfully, now he doesn't have any symptoms.
God bless.
Yes. We're praying. We do lots of doctor's visits. He's monitored by the best team at University of Chicago every 6 months and every 3 months. So lots of travels.
And had you heard of this condition prior to this?
Unfortunately, this is something that runs in our family.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, we didn't know it at the time.
Sure.
We found out last summer.
How was he diagnosed?
So it's through a blood test.
Okay.
So it's super rare, although not really. It's one in every 22,000
boys. Were there symptoms?
Not at this time,
thankfully. Really?
So the only way that you can really beat this disease is to catch it pre-symptomatic. So every 6 months he gets an MRI. If something was to come up on the MRI, he would go for a bone marrow transplant.
Wow.
And that just halts it. So the best thing you can do is find it on an MRI so he doesn't have symptoms. A lot of times when they find boys who have symptoms, it's too late for treatment.
Well, that's a lot of really scary stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of stress on you as a
yeah.
mom. And a break like a Make-A-Wish is a huge deal.
It's incredible. And I love, like they were saying before, you know, I think in our family we were, well, he doesn't have symptoms. And there are children, you know, who are worse off than he is. But it's huge for our family.
Yeah.
We take advantage of every perk there is to be a Wish family. We did the Blackhawks convention this weekend. We're going to the Lincoln Park Zoo.
And just to get an opportunity, and you can speak to this as a grandfather the way I can. What makes you happier than to see your kids happy or your grandkid happy, right?
Oh, yeah.
And lean into that microphone for me there, if you would.
She, you could see how he smiles. I mean, it makes a room all light up. And
good-looking kid. I'm telling you that.
Every 6 months,
right,
it's just a challenge trying to go to the MRI and the blood draw. Just
sure.
because knowing
lots
that,
of worry.
You know, I mean, I'm 50 and I play basketball, and he's only two or three, and he's got a whole life, and I can't.
All you want imagine. Is for him to have the same shot.
Yes, I can't imagine that.
To get old like you and me.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a stress to that. The idea that you have to go in 6 months, MRIs for a 3-year-old.
Yes.
Just the overall, tell us a little bit about that stress, because it's not just your stress, and of course your family stress, but
sure.
but getting Peyton in a position to understand that what he has to do.
Exactly. Here. And, you know, as a family, we don't lie to him. We don't say, oh, we're going, you know, to a trip, and we're actually going to the doctor. We talk a lot about it at home. We practice a lot at home. For his MRIs, he has to be sedated, which is tough on anyone, let alone
sure.
when you're three and you don't know what's going on. He is so strong.
But he's a tough guy. He's a tough guy.
Yeah.
And you know what? I salute the fact that you don't lie to him, because
yeah.
it's important. It's important on a million levels, but
yes.
not the least of which was he has trust in the doctors
yeah.
and the nurses now.
And this is lifelong. So, you know,
yeah.
if we instill, you know, calmness now, hopefully that will
right.
Carry on.
Peyton, are you married?
Yeah,
you sure?
And it's hard to actually tell him something different, because he kind of knows where he's going.
Smart kid.
Smart kid.
I mean, on the way here, he knows the route to get to the
hey, we going to doctors? We going to see
you
the radio guy?
Asking me mm-hmm. if we're going to doctors. No doctors.
And what's the wish? What is the wish?
So this upcoming summer, Peyton chose Disney World. So, yeah, he's super excited. We talk about it all the time.
So it's a trip to come, summer of 19.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, got.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it's been great, because instead of coming together as a family to plan the next doctor's visit and who's got to take off work
right.
when, we talk about, you know.
Something really to look forward to in
yeah,
a big way.
Where are we going to go? When are we going to, where are we going to stay? All the fun stuff. And he's
sure.
been once, so he knows a little bit, and he likes to participate and makes those choices, and he's super excited.
Maybe,
Frank, are you in on that?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm in Star Wars and
yeah, right.
the new Star Wars is coming out.
Peyton, do you like Disney World? Disney World?
Are yeah. you more of a Mickey Mouse guy?
Who's your favorite?
How about Goofy? Yeah, yeah. You didn't know Chewbacca, I played the role. Chewbacca. Frank, Chewbacca. You're working the Star Wars hard over here.
Oh, he doesn't know Chewbacca.
Yeah, I'll bet.
BBA.
You got a beautiful family. It's great to meet you guys.
Thank you.
And thanks for being here to help us tout all the great things that Make-A-Wish does.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And Peyton,
me.
Stay healthy, you good-looking dude, you.
Say thank you.
Oh, I can't believe the stress I'm under. I told you no pictures.
The eye roll was
fantastic.
Great.
What a smile on that guy. Thank you guys very much for being here.
Thank you.
And again, we urge you to join Sunday, September 30th, Bussy Woods, Elk Grove Village, the website again, to help in any way you can, including being there. Walkrunwish.org. Headlines next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Introducing to you some Make-A-Wish families here and reminding you the great work that Make-A-Wish does all the time. Sunday, September 30th, Bussy Woods, Elk Grove Village, 9 in the morning, walkrunwish.org for all the details. Let's meet the Guarinos here. If you don't mind, of course, I'll start with Mom because I'm smart like that. Rose Guarino, how are you?
Good.
And nice to meet you.
Likewise.
And this is Joe Guarino, who is 15?
15.
15? Why am I? There you go, 15. And where do you go to school?
Huntley High School.
And Huntley, is that a Kevin Powell thing? Didn't Kevin Powell go to Huntley, or is that not right?
No, he didn't go.
So he couldn't get in?
He couldn't get in.
Yeah, that's probably
he was turned down.
And the last time, I mean, it is 9:45 in the morning on a school day. I don't want to call it out here, Joe, but
say that.
Playing hooky, perhaps.
Yeah, but for all the right reasons. For all the right reasons. So, Joe, talk a little bit about where you want to go on your Make-A-Wish.
Well, I chose to go to New Zealand because I've always heard it's a beautiful country, and I decided why not go there finally because.
Did you look into it at all? Did you do any research on it? What interests you most about New Zealand?
It's very pretty. It's always like you're by the ocean. You have, I guess, some mountains still. So
a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
You do know it's a 48-week flight. It's a long flight, but it's worth it once you get there, for sure. And what do you want to do when you get there?
I don't know. Like, I guess...
See everything?
Nature. Yeah, so go outside.
Okay. You were diagnosed pretty recently, right?
Yeah.
And it's a brain tumor is the condition?
Yeah.
All right, so that's a lot of work. That's a lot of treatment. And, you know, Make-A-Wish can handle this as well. But, Mom, what's this mean for you? Stress constantly?
There is stress constantly. He was diagnosed last November. It was an unexpected diagnosis. We didn't have any symptoms leading up to it. It was just kind of one of those fluke things. He had headaches, and the doctor ordered, luckily, an MRI. They don't do that a lot on teenagers, you know, hormones and things changing.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, they ordered, a CAT scan, and the CAT scan showed something. Then they ordered the MRI that same day, and that's how we found it. So it is a stress. They were able to take it out. Most of, you know, as far as we know, most of it's out, but we are within that year.
Sure, you have to keep watching.
Right, time.
This becomes part of your life, right?
Correct.
Yeah. You ought to be able to just be goofing around, having fun, and being a kid, but now you're dealing with this. So it helps to have somebody like Make-A-Wish behind you, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
To help put all this together.
It is. It'll be nice to not have to think about it and worry about it and know what he can do now that we're kind of at that year of diagnosis and surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure, you know, we've had more symptoms afterwards, like with balance and memory, headaches and types of things that we didn't have beforehand. So it would be a good way to kind of push him a little bit and see what he can still do.
Yeah, there's so much that goes into, of course, tumors and any form of the recovery and the treatment. Right. Temperament is a big issue. Motivation, philosophy, just the mental preparation for this kind of battle.
Correct.
How do you guys approach it? How do the Guarinos approach the fact that it could be a lifelong battle?
I'm pretty much, let's do what it needs to do, and let's do it. And Joseph's pretty good about having that same philosophy. We don't really look at the what-ifs, you know, what if we hadn't caught it? What if this had been different? This is what needs to be done. Okay, let's do it. When we were in the emergency room with him, it's totally like what you see on TV on ER. I thought that was fake. It is not. That was what our experience was like with doctors rushing in and all this commotion going on. And, you know, it was just like, okay, do it.
Let's get after it.
Done.
You guys are the experts. Let's fix this.
Right.
Joe, you have brothers and sisters?
One sister.
Older or younger?
Older.
And I'm sure for a long time through this, she's probably been very sweet to you. Has she gotten back to being mean to you? Because that's a part of the recovery process, once your sister starts treating you like a brother again.
She's got to treat me like normal again.
That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly right. Now, does she go on the trip as well?
She is going on the trip as well, yes.
Boy, you got something to hold over her head, man. Well, listen, it's great to meet you, and congratulations on the journey as this has gone on. And with your attitude, I see nothing but upside here.
Thank you.
Just talking to Joe off the air. We're trying to pick a college for him.
What do you want to do?
Engineering.
All right. There's a lot of Big Ten schools that get into engineering, right?
Hey, Dave, can you make a call to Northwestern and get Joe in?
Yeah, sure. Sure. Be happy to.
Actually, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Could you cover the tuition?
I haven't heard Joe say he wants to go there necessarily. I don't know. Twist his arm.
It's not bad. You're going to send us some pictures from New Zealand?
Absolutely. It'll be beautiful.
It's going to be fun.
It'll be
nice to see you guys.
And last question for you, Joe. Just this whole concept, make a wish, and the opportunity to go to New Zealand that's being offered to you. What's it mean to you?
It's like, it helps, like if you like say like what I did, like a trip, it helps when you go on that trip. It takes your mind off of what's happening.
Sure.
You kind of like relax.
You get to just be you.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. Well, again, nice to meet you guys. Thanks. And we want everybody to go to Bussy Woods, huh?
We will be there. We'll be walking.
Oh, you'll be there as well.
We're paying it forward. We're one of the Pay It Forward families, so we're paying it forward.
WalkRunWish.org. Thank you guys very much for being here, and continued success on this, pal.
Thank you.
Listen to the doctors and your mother, and you're going to be great. All right, let's do this. We got a quick phone call here. Somebody else wants to tout Make-A-Wish, and why not? Hey, Glenn.
Hey, Steve. Hey, you guys are talking about Make-A-Wish. A bunch of my friends and myself are participating in a Make-A-Wish Foundation fundraiser and Make-A-Wish Dream program at the Milwaukee Yacht Club this Sunday.
Oh, cool.
We're taking, there's 21, last count I saw was 21 plus boats are taking kids out on Lake Michigan for a yacht ride.
Oh, that's excellent.
It's called Yacht. Yeah, it's called Yacht Blast. It's after the kids have the opportunity and their families take a ride on all of our boats, we bring them back in, and then there's a big function, and of course there's a fundraiser and everything. So I wanted to get our little pump.
No, I'm glad you. I'm glad you did. If people want to know more about that, what do they do? You got a website or a phone number?
Yeah, it's yachtblast.com out of the Milwaukee Make-A-Wish Foundation. Okay. Website.
All right, Glenn.
But I really appreciate it.
Appreciate the fact that you're doing it. That's great. Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate that. Dave, I'm trying to think of an adjective to describe this music. I'm trying to think of
upbeat.
No, it's not a beat.
Kind of peppy?
No, it's something else. It's not a beat. It's not peppy.
Naughty?
Naughty! That's the one! Tickets for Avenue Q, a pair for you, now playing at the Mercury Theater, Chicago. It's not just naughty. What else is it? It's not
sassy.
It's sassy. So it's naughty and sassy.
Naughty and sassy, baby.
The modern Laugh Out Loud comedy featuring sassy and lovable puppets. It's a cross between South Park and Sesame Street, won the Tony Triple Crown of 2004. Tickets at 773-325-1700 or win a pair right now. Jerry, you want to go with Sassy Caller 7? All right, Sassy 7 to 312-981-7200 or go to mercurytheaterchicago.com. Hey, we got an old friend of the show in studio.
Hey,
Sassy.
Is the phrase that pays for the Northwestern game tomorrow sassy or naughty?
Let's go naughty. You got to work naughty into it.
Naughty.
You got to work naughty
into it. And if you hear naughty, you just make a note of the game time. And on Monday's show, we'll ask you to call in with the game time that Dave said the word naughty, and you'll win.
You'll win.
Naughty.
And
Joe's been busy.
I believe the Akron Zips, naughty could work well with the Akron Zips.
Yeah. Just keep in mind, the game will be heard on AM 1000.
Oh, that's
so
good.
I don't want to confuse anybody.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Or can they listen on the stream? Are we on the stream?
On WGNRadio.com or your WGN app.
Make a note of the game time.
Kickoff is at 6:30 tomorrow night. Pre-game
Dave
at 6.
Dave says naughty. Old friend of the show in studio. I just wanted to say hi. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. Thank you so much having back on the radio.
Yeah, and tell everybody your name.
No, Borislav Bobcat. I'm trying to wait my turn to be mascot for David Inat.
because the Northwestern Wildcats could always use a Bobcat.
We talked about this a long time. I lost other job. Now David say, come to my house and stand dick.
I'm sorry, you said what?
Stand dick.
Stand dick. What?
To outside, to stand the dick.
Stain the deck. What do you got?
The wood.
The deck.
The deck. Stain the deck. Stain the deck. Got it. No, I heard that. That's what I thought.
Oh, stain the deck. He had me cut lawn. He had me pint. I pinted a little bit.
Did he offer you anything to eat?
You know, their food is bad. I better off eating stuff I cut along with.
Maybe you could have a piece of pizza?
Oh, piece of pizza is my favorite. That's okay. One time he asked me to, he wake up and he say, my Valley View don't go. And I go, well, I can't fix Valley View. I'm just feral cat who live in woods. I can't do this. But then I changed it. I the timing belt and alter terminator to the Valley View.
Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Bertrand for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Far from out of the woods in the North Carolina Hurricane Florence situation, and Wendy and Bill will keep an eye on this for you, but the pictures look much less frightening, but you've got to be going through it to know that the flood surge is the huge problem now and will be through the weekend, maybe even into Monday. So you'll go, you'll watch the radar?
Yeah, we're checking in with Ryan Burrow in about 10 minutes or so.
Okay. Do we know he's okay?
He's okay.
We'll find out.
Because he's Ryan Burrow?
Yeah.
So if he doesn't answer, it's a different report?
Totally different report.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. What are you guys doing on the show other than that?
It is action-packed. Sarah Colonna will be on.
Great. Love her.
Comedian. Very funny girl.
She's very funny.
Very funny. Yeah. The treat maker to the Bears.
Yeah, the Bears baker.
He makes treats?
She makes treats for the Bears if they win. She hasn't worked much lately.
Right. There's a lot of leftover.
Yep.
There's a lot of leftover treats.
It up.
Well, what would a treat be?
We're going to find out. I have no idea.
Like, what is Khalil Mack like for a treat?
Khalil Mack loves cinnamon. Anything with cinnamon.
Is that right?
I love cinnamon.
No idea.
Yeah.
No idea at all.
So they make them little cinnamon snack treats.
I hear Mitch Trubisky's a Kit Kat man.
Yeah, he enjoys a good Kit Kat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll divulge all that.
Well, those are good. Keep going. What else you got?
Mayhem. Mayhem
yeah,
will
be some mayhem.
Oh, the guy from Allstate.
Yeah.
I wish.
He'll be out.
Have a great weekend. We're back Monday.